Welcome to Center Stage, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us tonight with all of our challenges, but it's working out. Of course, this particular guest, I'm really excited about. Her name is Rayon Hunter, and she's the new Children's Theater Company casting director. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her, because there's a lot to say. Children's Theater Company is pleased to announce that Rayon Hunter, currently the associate casting director for Alliance Theater in Atlanta, has been appointed now for the Children's Theater casting director, and she joined CTC just on May 22nd, just this month, and they are thrilled to have her be a part of this. Rayon, welcome so much. Welcome to WCCO Radio.
Hi, Geraldine. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, what a pleasure. It's amazing. You're like remarkable. You are an actress, a director, a producer, arts administrator from New Orleans, Louisiana. You currently worked in the artistic department of the Alliance Theater, which is so well known. And this was as a Spelman Leadership Fellow. You are bad, honey. You got it going on. And you've worked on a multitude of shows, varying capacities, ranging from casting associate to director on productions such as Do You Love the Dark or Darling Corey. It just goes on and on and on. Obviously, you love what you do because you continue to do it, and you do it well. So I want to say congratulations and welcome to the Twin Cities.
Thank you so much.
So here you are with this new job. How are you feeling about it all?
Oh, I'm excited. Just in the past week, I've been able to meet some phenomenal people and see some phenomenal work. The Twin Cities has so much talent and so much, so many artists and abilities and young performers who can be tapped in and who can, just be a part more of theater. So I'm very, very excited to be working with the phenomenal talent that's here.
Well, we're happy that you're here. Tell me what it is that you say or see in your head and heart, what you have to do first and foremost before anything else is done with the work that you're doing.
Yes, so the main thing that I want to do, especially coming in, is recruitment. One thing that I've realized working in a lot of theaters and just being a part of a lot of processes is that there are so many young performers who aren't able to have the opportunity to be in formalized theater because of barriers such as financials, barriers such as just knowledge about what theater is and how it works, and just so many other reasons. And I actually used to be one of those small children who wasn't able to afford these classes and able to be a part of these big auditions because my parents didn't really know how. They did the best they could, but my goal, especially in the next coming weeks, is to be traveling around Minneapolis, going into these schools and finding these diamonds in the rough, who, we can tap in and get them in classes and have them audition and be a part of our CTC family. So that's what I'm really, really excited to do, to find those talented kids who may not have the opportunity to be a part of theater otherwise.
It is so incredible how many children are looking forward to it. Here in the Twin Cities, we make sure that the children know that we love the work that they're doing in theater. There's one, I forget the name of it, Jonathan, you might know it, but these children have worked so hard in the plays that they've been in, and they get awards for them, kind of like the Ivy Awards that we used to do here in the Twin Cities. So I'm really happy that you're getting to know the children, whether they're at a different theater or wherever you go. It's great that they'll get to see you and know you. So I'm excited about that, and thank you for going outside of what some people think is too much. You don't think it's too much, and I appreciate
that.
So here we are. Here you are in the Twin Cities, and of course, you've got a lot to do. How many pieces are you going to do? Did I read 7 or 8 different plays?
I believe that it's 7 this season. I say I believe because we are in the thick of casting at least 2 of them. So in my first week, we were heavy in going through scheduling auditions, which shows are coming up, what roles are still open versus ones that we've already cast. So, lots going on within, being here for a couple of days.
Lots going on for being here in a couple of days, and it's not going to stop anytime soon, Rayon. I want to let you know that.
Yeah.
But it says in your press release that you have tremendous energy, insight, and commitment to this position, and is a truly remarkable young leader. This is what we need, particularly in the children's theater company. I am so excited. I cannot wait to meet you. So when are you presenting yourself to all of Minnesota? When can we come, maybe hear about you, see you, and meet you?
I mean, now, you know, the last couple of days I've been going to see shows. I've been meeting with some artistic directors around the city. I plan on continuing that in the next couple of weeks and just being open. I mean, anyone can email me. I believe my email should be on the CTC website. But yeah, I just want to know more about Minneapolis. I want to know more about the city. And I want to know more about the artists here and what they need. How can I attribute or how can I help for that? So yes, I'm open to seeing everyone, being a part of any types of discussions, and also just, you know, going out to coffee whenever that may be.
Right. And in a role like this, would you talk to the children directly?
Yes. With their parents. But yes, we would talk to the young performers directly with their parents, you know, just about what it means to be in a professional show. You know, some of these young performers do 9 shows a week, depending on what the show is, which is a lot. So a lot of times you have to give resources and tools to the parents so that they know, you know, how to keep their voice healthy, how to make sure that they're still keeping up with their schoolwork. So a lot of those conversations happen before the process starts so that the young performer and the parent is aware of what this process really means.
Incredible. So then, Rayon, what would you say is the first show that we will see that we can buy tickets to? What would that
be? The first show that you all will be able to buy tickets to, in general, right now, An American Tale is happening at CTC, which is phenomenal. And the young performers are amazing. I mean, you just watch the stage and you see how lit up they are and excited to be there and how, you know, you can tell that this is the one place that they want to be. And then after that, we have a workshop that will be coming up very, very soon, information to be released. And then you can get tickets right now for How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is our Christmas show, which we are currently in the process of casting. But it's usually a classic. You know, Peter, who's the artistic director of CTC, directs it, and he is absolutely phenomenal. And it will be amazing with the talent that we have right now. So please absolutely get your tickets to see that show.
Oh, yeah, I'll be getting my tickets. I love it. How do you begin to spy a new talent that none of us really know about? What is the thing that you look for to say that one has the it factor?
You know, Geraldine, I thank you for asking that, because a lot of people have asked me in the last couple of days and I haven't been able to put it into words because it really is a gut feeling. Whenever I watch a young performer and I look in their eyes and I see how excited and passionate they are to be up there, they may be green, or green is something that we call actors, we know, when they haven't had as much experience as other seasoned actors, or they may not have, you know, the resume, but they have the excitement and the passion to continue to learn, to continue to expand their craft and build that muscle. And that's what I look for, that excitement and that passion and that giddiness for being in theater. And I think a lot of people think that casting directors look for those, you know, young performers who are, you know, going to be on Broadway. They're going to be the best of the best. But the reality is, for me, I want to create a generation of young people who feel comfortable and who feel safe coming to the theater and who feel like it is a place for them. So even if that young performer is excited and passionate and they don't want to grow up and be, you know, a Tony Award winning actor, maybe they'll send their kids to camp, or they'll send their nieces, or, you know, they'll invest in theater and make sure that people remember how important it is in our community. So the goal is to create a generation of theater makers who know that this is their home.
Rayon Hunter, I wish we had more time to talk. You are the new Children's Theater Company casting director. Welcome. Welcome to the Twin Cities, and I so look forward to meeting you. I look forward to seeing all that you bring forward from these children that maybe they haven't reached that pinnacle yet, but you are ready. You are absolutely ready after reading all about you. Can't wait. Can't wait to see what you will do. And the children are going to be thrilled. I know they're going to absolutely be thrilled. So I do hope to run into you soon. And if not, then trust me, I will just burst into the CTC.
Please do.
And say, I want to meet her. I want to meet her. So please take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, Rihanna. Make sure you have boots for winter and coats for real, okay?
Thank you so much, Sherilyn. It was so nice speaking with you. And I hope to see you soon.
All right. You got it. Take care.
You too.
All right, everyone. Joel Cord is going to come up next. It's called Mostly Trees. He's the lead guitarist of Mostly Trees, and I can't wait to talk to him. We'll be back. I love this song already. See, this is what touches me, man, and all of a sudden you're just into them. The name of this song is called Sundog. Who are they? They're called Mostly Trees, and the lead guitarist, Joel Cordy, is joining us to talk about what's coming up with Mostly Trees and the albums that they're doing. There's a release show that is happening at Ice House on June 1st of this month, Thursday. That's right, this coming Thursday, June 1st. You don't want to miss it. And, you know, here's the thing. When you have a chance to release new songs, I can only imagine how that feels. I am not one who writes songs. All of my brothers and my sister, one of my sisters does, but I am not one of those. So I want to welcome Joel Cordy. How are you, Joel?
Hi, I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, and it's great to have you join us tonight. Tell me about Mostly Trees and how you came to be.
Absolutely. I just wanted to start out, though, by saying that I am a person who stutters, and the reason why I say that is just because on the phone, or you know, I you know, assume on the radio, it can sound like maybe there's a bad connection or something like that, and I just makes me feel more comfortable if people are aware that it's not a bad connection. It's just the way that I speak.
I appreciate that, Joel, and I just want you to know my son was a stutterer for a long time. And so many people that are they handle it differently, right? Every stutterer handles it differently. But the bottom line is you have something to say, and I want to hear it tonight. I'm so excited that you are the lead guitarist that's joining us tonight. So take your time and tell me what it is about this amazing group called Mostly Trees that you really love.
Well, thanks so much. Obviously, you know, your experience with your son, that makes me feel at ease. I think the thing about our band that feels really special is just that we've known each other for so long. We've been playing together really since high school. I was actually sort of an admirer of the rest of the band when I was in high school, and joined up with them later on. And I think just that closeness, I'm actually I met my wife through one of the members in the
group,
the band,
and
so it's just a closeness, and we've just known each other forever, and we've been playing the music with each other for many, many years.
Yeah, but that's the kind of band that just keeps going. You never stop, right? You're still writing songs, you're still out there, and you've been together how long now?
So, we've been together more or less, I don't even know how long, but this band, this iteration of the group, it's been about 5 years now.
Wow. See what I mean? You know, a lot of times bands, especially the newer bands, they will all of a sudden start falling at the wayside. And there are also bands that have been together for even 20 years and all of a sudden they break up. Man, we can go back and look in the Billboard magazine and find all kind of bands that have broken up. Yet you guys are still going strong. Do you believe that you will have the opportunity to continue doing this work as lead guitar of this band? Do you think that this is something you want to stick with for the next 10 years?
You know, we talk about this a lot because, sometimes it can just be kind of hard to find the time to make everything happen. But anytime it has been sort of an extended absence where, we haven't been able to get together to write songs or to rehearse or whatever, when we get back together, we always just look at each other and are like, hey, this is really special, you know, and we, this is something that we just need to continue to make happen, because it just, it just makes life, it just makes life like really just, happy, you know?
Yeah.
And,
and I know it very well.
Full of
joy. I know
it
very well.
You know?
Yeah, full of joy. And that's what music is supposed to do, is uplift us, right? So I'm just curious to know, have you set a time when you say, okay, I'm with this band, I'm in it to do it, I'm in it to win it, right, with my fellow band members? But do you sometimes say to yourself, maybe I should consider leaving? Because I need someone to tell me. I'm a singer as well. I need someone to tell me when I am done, because I will never think I'm done. That's how much I love to sing.
I think that's it, though. It's just like, you know, what else are we going to do? You know, I love spending time with these guys. It's like, what are we going to, you know, join a bowling league or something, you know? It's just, this is how we want to spend our time, and we get to create art with each other, you know?
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. It's the same thing in my family. It's just that I'm the one that does not write the songs. I may, you know, say, oh, maybe we should do this a little differently, but, you know, you want me to write a song? No, everybody would leave the room, I think. Well, it is a pleasure talking with you.
Role, right?
Yeah, everyone has their role. That's it, Joel. All right, so I just want to tell you congratulations, first of all, on the new album. This is happening at Ice House on Thursday, June 1st. June 1st. What time do you guys begin?
Some of our close friends are in this band called Good Doom, and they're opening up at 8 o'clock, and I think we're on about 9:30.
That's perfect. 9:30. If people want tickets, where do they go? I see sonicbids.com. Is that where people go for tickets?
Yeah, I'm probably the easiest is we have a link on there for the event, and you'll be able to get the tickets online.
All right. I'm excited about it, and I know you guys are going to have a great time. Just keep going. Keep going, Joel. Don't let anything stop you, because you love the music. This is what it is. It's down in your heart and completely in your body. Don't worry about it. Keep going, okay?
Thanks so much. Thanks so
you
much.
Take care.
Thanks for having me on this evening.
You're welcome.
It.
Take care of you.
All right.
All right, everyone. We're going to come back with our next guest, and I'm excited about that, too. I'll tell you about it in a moment. It is now 9:33 here at WCCO. I am so excited to introduce you to AJ Sharubas and Rena Rossi. The name of the song that you're hearing right now is called Fort Smith. And this particular group is going to get some things done. Let me tell you, it's called Steam Machines. And they're celebrating their new album on June 14th. Again, that is June 14th. And joining us to talk about it is AJ Sharubas and Rena Rossi. Hello, AJ and Rena. How are you?
Hi, we're good. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Oh my gosh, you got to tell me how this all came together. This particular, like how many albums have you done before this one?
Well, this is actually the first one we've ever done just as a duo. We've done other albums as bands, larger bands, but this was our first project, just the two of us.
Are you married?
Yeah.
hey now. Yeah, you better put some smiles in that, dude. Oh, my gosh. Well, congratulations on doing this duet together, this duo together. And I want you to tell me all about Steam Machines.
Well, we're a band. We've been based out of the Twin Cities for the last, 6 years or so. But we work with a lot of different rotating cast. We're actually doing this interview from a festival in Lower Michigan right now, where we were playing as Steam Machine. We're sitting in the car, and there's like this killer dance band playing some swing music right outside where we're at. But we've been playing a lot. We like to play a lot of Midwestern fiddle music, stuff from Illinois and Missouri, and kind of have a specific sound in our little niche market of old-time fiddle genre.
A lot of people, you know, think of the music as being more from the Southeast, but we play a lot of stuff that's actually more from the Midwest. So that's kind of something we like to do.
Here's the thing. The Midwest is just famous for the music that is happening. And, of course, when you talk about a fiddle in the great state of Minnesota, you're talking about something, right? So yeah. as you move further and further out and all around, are you finding it easier for you guys to just, you know, as a duo, that you just match, you just work well together? Or do you say, hey, let's just wait for a while we're working on this song and we'll come back to it?
Well, you know, we were talking the other day and we said, we think a duo might be one of the harder types of music to play. Like, if you're solo, you can just do your thing. You can change tempo. You can kind of
No one's going to argue.
No one's going to argue. If you're a, if you're a band, you know, there's if someone messes up, someone, you know, there's you're not necessarily going to know because there's so much
your
other sound.
Your responsibility goes down with more people. So, you know, if you got someone playing the banjo and maybe they slip a note, well, the guitar's in there strong at that moment. Or maybe the guitar slips a note, but there's a bass, you know, like, but in a duo, you got one person laying down the rhythm and you got one person playing the melody.
Or whatever the duo's doing, but it's just, it's more spare and pared down, but it's still more than one person, so you still have to pay attention. So it's been a really, really good challenge to, you know, I think it made us better players to have to do something so pared down, but still really working together.
Okay, so then what I need to know, Rena, is what do you play?
I play the guitar. I also play the bass, but on this record, I play the guitar.
You play bass.
Oh, you got that kind of... Oh, you got gifts, honey. You got gifts. What about you, AJ? What are you playing?
I play the fiddle, mostly. There's a couple tracks where I play some guitar, electric guitar and acoustic guitar, but mostly I just play the fiddle.
Okay, so both of you play guitar.
Yeah. But Rena's more of a guitar player.
He plays fiddle for the most part. He's a great guitar player, but really, AJ just said about an hour ago, I think I was born to drink cheap beer and play the fiddle.
Well, I will say this. If you both play guitar and all of a sudden you have an argument, just think about it. I mean, you start playing guitar and everything just kind of peace just arrives. Just peace. So, you know, you're doing something great. You really are. So being a duet, it used to be... when you're a duo, it used to be here in the great state of Minnesota, you would see this all the time. And now I don't hear much about duos. Do you guys ever hear people ask you those kind of questions?
Well, I think it's a conversation a lot of our friends that play music have because, you know, it's pretty hard to make money playing music. And,
it is.
It's really hard. And if you're a solo person... if you play a club, whatever, a local club, they might guarantee you some money and it's going to be the same no matter if you're one or if you're 10, you know, but if you're one, sure, you get to take all the money, but you are doing all the work. You have to do all the musical work. You have to do you're just doing everything. If you're a band, you might have shared responsibilities both musically and administration wise, but you're kind of sharing the load, you know, a duo. It's kind of a good compromise because you still might be able to make a little bit of money, but you're still a bigger sound, shared responsibility.
We also just, you know, in the sort of bluegrass music and old time music, there's a lot of more full band recordings and people playing in full bands. But there's also actually a lot of recordings of people just playing at home or other places, just fiddle and guitar and. We really like how that sounds, and we like how full band sounds too, but we really like how that sounds. So we're kind of trying to lean into that and just, you know, try to see how much noise and how much sound we can put out as just two people.
Well, now that you are established, I'm just curious to know if you are looking at adding more instruments.
We always like to have people play with us. And so we had some guests on the album, friends of ours, a lot of really talented musicians from the Twin Cities, add some banjo, some drums, some, what else do we have people do? Some mandolin. So we do always like to play with more people. And actually all of those guests, another friend of ours, Brian Miller, is a great Irish musician, plays bouzouki. And all of those friends are going to be with us June 14th at the 331, playing some tunes with us, probably the tunes they did on the record, but also some other tunes as well. we do love collaborating as much as possible with other people.
Yeah, and that really makes a difference, because all it takes is one person to come in and really inspire you. And all of a sudden, the sound may not change a lot, but there is something different about it. Your audience will say, wow, what changed? What did they do? Something's different. And that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. And then, like you said, people will add these great ideas and then we can riff off of them. So that's the process always, just getting inspired by others.
Yeah, I think the flip side of it, too, is like, before, we were only really collaborating with other people and doing large group stuff, and having to, I mean, we did mostly work on this album during the pandemic, and we're married, so we're living together, and we're just left to our own devices to play music together, and I think it kind of taught us both how to, like, you know, we're kind of the head of our other band, and so we can link up and be the sort of center. We know what we're thinking. If I do something weird, Rena could follow me. If she does something weird, I can follow her, because we just play together all the time. And then when you add other people into that mix, there's such a good base, because we play all the time, that it's sort of an easy, like, for someone to sit in with us, it's an easy hang, because we do it so much together that you're just kind of plugging into that, into your slot.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. However, there are challenges with couples when it's just the two of you, a married couple that's doing great music. No, it really is. I mean, those challenges are real. You know, you don't want people to know all your business. None of us want a whole lot of people to know our business when you're married.
Nope.
Okay, right?
Yep.
But I'm just curious about do you already have a list of things that you will do? You know, how you will react, where you say, okay, honey, I know that I upset you. Let's go out on this stage and try it again. What do you do? Do you hug each other? Do you do a kiss? Do you fist bump one another when you're walking out on the stage to make sure there is none of that obvious to the audience?
Both of us are like, we are all in. Like, if we feel something, we're going to, like, just say it to each other, like, full, all out, like, no holds barred. And I think we both just, we have a successful relationship outside of the music, because we know that
We can be honest with each other.
We can just be honest. You can get super mad, and the other person might be super mad. It does, and we both know that that doesn't really matter. That's just like a thing that's happening right now. But like
our conflict style works for ourselves, but we do, you know, we know that other people may not understand if they see us arguing, that that's like not a big deal. We don't really mind doing that, and neither of us is that upset. So we do have to be careful to make sure that that doesn't come with us on the stage ever. So we, you know, we talked about different things, and like trying to have, you know, each of us have our own role. And one thing that I've thought, I used to always look at AJ if he messed up on stage. I would look at him, and then I was like,
it is now 9:33 here at WCCO. I am so excited to introduce you to AJ Sharubas and Rena Rossi. The name of the song that you're hearing right now is called Fort Smith. And this particular group is going to get some things done. Let me tell you, it's called Steam Machines. And they're celebrating their new album on June 14th. Again, that is June 14th. And joining us to talk about it is AJ Sharubas and Rena Rossi. Hello, AJ and Rena. How are you?
Hi, we're good. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Oh my gosh, you got to tell me how this all came together. This particular, like how many albums have you done before this one?
Well, this is actually the first one we've ever done just as a duo. We've done other albums as bands, larger bands, but this was our first project, just the two of us.
Are you married?
Yeah.
hey now! Yeah, you better put some smiles in that, dude. Oh, my gosh. Well, congratulations on doing this duet together, this duo together. And I want you to tell me all about Steam Machines.
Well, we're a band. We've been based out of the Twin Cities for the last, 6 years or so. But we work with a lot of different rotating cast. We're actually doing this interview from a festival in Lower Michigan right now, where we were playing as Steam Machine. We're sitting in the car, and there's like this killer dance band playing some swing music right outside where we're at. But we've been playing a lot. We like to play a lot of Midwestern fiddle music, stuff from Illinois and Missouri, and kind of have a specific sound in our little niche market of old-time fiddle genre.
Right. A lot of people, you know, think of the music as being more from the Southeast, but we play a lot of stuff that's actually more from the Midwest, so that's kind of something we like to do.
Here's the thing. The Midwest is just famous for the music that is happening. And, of course, when you talk about a fiddle in the great state of Minnesota, you're talking about something, right? So yeah. as you move further and further out and all around, are you finding it easier for you guys to just, you know, as a duo, that you just match, you just work well together? Or do you say, hey, let's just wait for a while we're working on this song and we'll come back to it?
Well, you know, we were talking the other day and we said, we think a duo might be one of the harder types of music to play. Like, if you're solo, you can just do your thing. You can change tempo. You can kind of
No one's going to argue.
No one's going to argue. If you're a, if you're a band, you know, there's if someone messes up, someone, you know, there's you're not necessarily going to know because there's so much
your
other sound.
Your responsibility goes down with more people. So, you know, if you got someone playing the banjo and maybe they slip a note. Well, the guitar's in there strong at that moment, or maybe the guitar slips a note, but there's a bass, you know, like, but in a duo, you got one person laying down the rhythm and you got one person playing the melody.
Or whatever the duo's doing, but it's just, it's more spare and pared down, but it's still more than one person, so you still have to pay attention. So it's been a really, really good challenge to, you know, I think it made us better players to have to do something so pared down, but still really working together.
Okay, so then what I need to know, Rena, is what do you play?
I play the guitar. I also play the bass, but on this record, I play the guitar.
You play bass.
Oh, you got that kind of... Oh, you got gifts, honey. You got gifts. What about you, AJ? What are you playing?
I play the fiddle, mostly. There's a couple tracks where I play some guitar, electric guitar and acoustic guitar, but mostly I just play the fiddle.
Okay, so both of you play guitar.
Yeah. But Rena's more of a guitar player.
He plays fiddle for the most part. He's a great guitar player, but really, AJ just said about an hour ago, I think I was born to drink cheap beer and play the fiddle.
Well, I will say this. If you both play guitar and all of a sudden you have an argument, just think about it. I mean, you start playing guitar and everything just kind of peace just arrives. Just peace. So, you know, you're doing something great. You really are. So being a duet, it used to be... when you're a duo, it used to be here in the great state of Minnesota, you would see this all the time. And now I don't hear much about duos. Do you guys ever hear people ask you those kind of questions?
Well, I think it's a conversation a lot of our friends that play music have because, you know, it's pretty hard to make money playing music. And,
it is.
It's really hard. And if you're a solo person... if you play a club, whatever, a local club, they might guarantee you some money and it's going to be the same no matter if you're one or if you're 10, you know, but if you're one, sure, you get to take all the money, but you are doing all the work. You have to do all the musical work. You have to do you're just doing everything. If you're a band, you might have shared responsibilities, both musically and administration wise, but you're kind of sharing the load, you know, a duo. It's kind of a good compromise because you still might be able to make a little bit of money, but you're still a bigger sound, shared responsibility.
We also just, you know, in the sort of bluegrass music and old time music, there's a lot of more full band recordings and people playing in full bands. But there's also actually a lot of recordings of people just playing at home or other places, just fiddle and guitar and. We really like how that sounds, and we like how full band sounds too, but we really like how that sounds. So we're kind of trying to lean into that and just, you know, try to see how much noise and how much sound we can put out as just two people.
Well, now that you are established, I'm just curious to know if you are looking at adding more instruments.
We always like to have people play with us. And so we had some guests on the album, friends of ours, a lot of really talented musicians from the Twin Cities, add some banjo, some drums, what else do we have people do? Some mandolin. So we do always like to play with more people. And actually all of those guests, another friend of ours, Brian Miller, is a great Irish musician, plays bouzouki. And all of those friends are going to be with us June 14th at the 331 playing some tunes with us, probably the tunes they did on the record, but also some other tunes as well. And we do love collaborating as much as possible with other people.
Yeah, and that really makes a difference, because all it takes is one person to come in and really inspire you. And all of a sudden, the sound may not change a lot, but there is something different about it. Your audience will say, wow, what changed? What did they do? Something's different. And that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. And then, like you said, people will add these great ideas and then we can riff off of them. So that's the process always, just getting inspired by others.
Yeah, I think the flip side of it, too, is like, before, we were only really collaborating with other people and doing large group stuff, and having to, I mean, we did mostly work on this album during the pandemic, and we're married, so we're living together, and we're just left to our own devices to play music together, and I think it kind of taught us both how to, like, you know, we're kind of the head of our other band, and so we can link up and be the sort of center. We know what we're thinking. If I do something weird, Rena could follow me. If she does something weird, I can follow her, because we just play together all the time. And then when you add other people into that mix, there's such a good base, because we play all the time, that it's sort of an easy, like, for someone to sit in with us, it's an easy hang, because we do it so much together that you're just kind of plugging into that, into your slot.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. However, there are challenges with couples when it's just the two of you, a married couple that's doing great music. No, it really is. I mean, those challenges are real. You know, you don't want people to know all your business. None of us want a whole lot of people to know our business when you're married.
Nope.
Okay, right?
Yep.
But I'm just curious about do you already have a list of things that you will do? You know, how you will react, where you say, okay, honey, I know that I upset you. Let's go out on this stage and try it again. What do you do? Do you hug each other? Do you do a kiss? Do you fist bump one another when you're walking out on the stage to make sure there is none of that obvious to the audience?
Both of us are like, we are all in. Like, if we feel something, we're going to, like, just say it to each other, like, full, all out, like, no holds barred. And I think we both just, we have a successful relationship outside of the music, because we know that
We can be honest with each other.
We can just be honest. You can get super mad, and the other person might be super mad. It does, and we both know that that doesn't really matter. That's just like a thing that's happening right now. But like
our conflict style works for ourselves. But we do, you know, we know that other people may not understand if they see us arguing, that that's like not a big deal. We don't really mind doing that, and neither of us is that upset. So we do have to be careful to make sure that that doesn't come with us on the stage ever. So we, you know, we talked about different things, and like trying to have, you know, each of us have our own role. And one thing that I've thought, I used to always look at AJ if he messed up on stage. I would look at him, and then I was like, okay, I'm not going to look at you if you mess up. I'm just going to, you know, I don't want to, like, draw attention to it if you don't want me to. I mean, I think I love watching people mess up personally. Like, just because it humanizes, you see these pros, and then it humanizes everybody, you know.
It does. Yes, ma'am.
Just go with it. But, I, you know, that's one thing that we've, and the more we perform together, the more we work out, okay, this is how we'll handle this or that, you know, as we go.
You know, when it's family, I'm sorry, go right ahead, AJ.
Oh, I just said it's a work in progress.
Aren't we all, though, constantly a work in progress?
Yeah.
You know, my siblings and I, there are five of us, and we sing together, and we've been doing it for decades, right?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, my sister and I were performing at the Dakota. I don't know if you're familiar with that venue in downtown Minneapolis. We were performing there, and all of a sudden, during the concert, packed house, my sister just kind of looks at me, and she says, my hair. So I get behind her, and I take hairpins out of my hair to put it into her hair, right? And the people think this is an act. They go, oh, they're laughing. They're going, oh, you too. You're just kidding. You're kidding. No, that was for real. I was fixing my sister's hair on stage. And this is what people see when they see people that are in love. You're married, you're dating, or you are siblings. You're part of a family. They really look at that and go, oh, you guys planned all of that. And it's not planned sometimes. Am I right, Rena?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
I feel like we should get some advice from you. I, you know, five family members, you've probably learned a lot about how to be on stage and manage a lot of relationships at the same time.
It's very true, and we've been doing it for a long time. But, you know, we're all changing. All of us, change is inevitable, right? We are going to change. And so we get on the stage, and we look at each other and go, okay, yeah, that's you. There you go. Okay, I can see it in your eyes. All right, let's go. Let's do this. And you get all excited, and oh, I just love it. If someone had to come and tell me, Geraldine, it's time for you to sit down and be quiet, somebody would have to tell me because I'm never going to listen to it. Never going to listen to it. So, Rena, would you listen to that? If someone came to you and said, you guys should just, you know, kind of wait for a while and come back later. What would you guys say?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there you go. All right. One of the last questions I'm going to ask, in your bio, it says a lot of this album, this new album, comes out of the music we hear here. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, you know, we have been really lucky in that there's been all these older mentors that have shared so much music with us, and they've been people who, you know, we are both from the Midwest, and they were people who are also from the Midwest and wanted to make sure that music from the Midwest was getting passed on. So they've shared music with us, they've shared music with a lot of other people in this community, and there's really starting to be sort of a lot of young people that are playing these tunes here in this geography that are a little different than what gets played elsewhere. And it's kind of the vision of some of these elders, I think, was that that would happen, that these tunes would stay in the rotation and that they would stay, you know, stay strong. And so that's, we hear this music around here, and that's kind of, we didn't actually set out to make an album that was featuring Midwest music. That wasn't our plan. But as we made it, we started to realize, you know what, this is really inspired by this sort of very big, very thriving, very talented community of musicians that are based in Minneapolis, are based in kind of the surrounding states, and get together a lot and are, you know, sort of playing their own sound.
Right, I get it. Well, I just want to say congratulations. And, of course, on Wednesday, June 14th, as you mentioned a moment ago, at 7 p.m., they are performing at 331 Club, 331 13th Avenue Northeast in Minneapolis. Again, that's, the address is 331 13th Avenue Northeast in Minneapolis. Now, before I let you guys go, AJ, the name is Sharubas, and then it's Rini Rossi. I think if you put Sharubas and Rossi together, you got some champagne. Y'all might get, go ahead and get that done, honey. Get that done. Sell some champagne after you perform. What do you think, AJ?
Well, it just so happens that I really do love champagne.
Boom, I did it.
That's so good. It's bubbly. It gets the tongue just right. Yeah. Love champagne.
I can't do it, man. It tickles my eyeballs. I'm telling you, I can't do it. I can't do it at all. So look, you guys, I'm so happy that you're getting this done on June 14th. If people want more information, what is the website?
The best website is AJ Strubas Music. So it's AJSRUBASmusic.com.
It has been a pleasure being on with you, and you guys keep going strong. I hope to have you on again. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you so much for having us. It's great talking with you.
You too, Rena. Take care. Bye, you guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up next, I'm just going to talk about some stuff that's going on in the Twin Cities, and I hope you will stick and stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. You've been listening to Center Stage. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. As we end this final hour tonight, and I know many people say, where is Michael Battle? Where's my son? Well, he is working hard with Amazon, and he does not have the time that he used to have for us to do that hour together. But we do hope, at least I hope, that we will get it together again. So stay tuned. He's doing well. Say a prayer for him. I do want to mention Tina Turner's funeral, which will be a small private affair with closest family friends. And when I read that, I was really surprised. I kept saying to myself, why wouldn't they want us to at least want to be there or watch part of it in some way? But then I thought, Geraldine, you have no right to even ask that question, because she was a superstar. It doesn't mean she didn't want anyone to participate. Maybe she's just, this is her way of going home. going home, wherever home is, up or down, sideways, you name it. So Tina Turner's former personal assistant said that the singer did not want a big public funeral. And I know how that is. You know, I want a big party. I don't want a big funeral. I want a big party. I said to my mother one day, I said, you know, Mom, I think I want a pine box built just for me. And I want to have it at the church or wherever we're going to have this party, because it's going to be a party. And I want people to draw on it, paint on it, and say whatever they want to say to me within a few words. And she said, oh, no, Geraldine, no, don't do that. Well, it's remarkable what people want. And Tina Turner did not want a big funeral. In fact, she said that she wanted to be cremated. That's what I want. So her funeral is likely to be attended by her closest friends and family. What I will say as we end our night tonight is that the bottom line for me with Tina Turner is that we are going to miss you dearly. We are truly going to miss you dearly. I don't know of any other artist that is a Tina Turner, that is even close to Tina Turner. She's been in the industry for so long. And although I look at my own life and I'm so grateful for the things I have accomplished and I'm looking forward to doing more, at the same time, when there are the greats that are leaving us, my goodness, it's hard. It's really hard because I can't imagine. I think it was Lizzo. A dear friend of mine, Shelley, sent me a link that showed Lizzo doing one of Tina Turner's most famous songs. And I watched it. It was only about 2 minutes or maybe 3 minutes long. It wasn't long at all. And Lizzo really let it go. I mean, she was verklempt. You could tell she was choking up. You know, her heart just couldn't seem to release all of the song, but she just kept going for it and going for it. And I thought to myself, that's the way to do it. Tina is, you know, looking at all of us right now going, yep, Lizzo, boom, that's the one. She did it. And it was just fun to watch her do it. I do hope that people have finally gotten over Lizzo. It just bothers me to read articles from time to time where people are really against her. They want to say, you know, oh, look at these outfits you wear. They're terrible. You have no right to put them on. We can go on and on. You know, it's all about the consciousness of the body, right? If you're a big, beautiful woman and you want to show it off, then people get a little offended. Oh, God. Remember the people that were telling Lizzo, don't wear that gown. It's diaphanous. You can see through it. And that's ridiculous. What? There are people that are on stage that even off stage that wear clothes that are totally inappropriate. Who are we to tell them that, right? There's no law against that person wearing that, not that I know of. So as we think about all of those that we've lost, every time the Oscars come on and they show the pictures of those that have gone that year, it's hard because you really start to realize, oh my gosh, we are going to miss so many of them. And it doesn't mean it's ever going to stop. It just simply means that we need to pay attention and honor them even before they're sick. Send them a letter. Send them a card that just says, and if they never open it and they never see it, at least you got it off your heart. You sent that to that particular star to say, I hope you're well. So what's going on with of some of the other stars right now? Celine Dion, of course, had to cancel the rest of her show in Vegas. And we know that she's in pain. So please say something positive. Say a prayer for her. Think about her. Can you imagine? This woman is one of the voices that we will never forget, just like Tina Turner, Whitney Houston, and so many others. But what do we do? Do we talk about it? Do we laugh about it behind their backs and go, well, she was too thin anyway, or she was too fat anyway? It's ridiculous. How about just saying, I'm going to think about you, or maybe I'm going to pray for you, or maybe I'm going to send something up to the heavens, even though I don't know that much about you. I'm thinking about you, and I don't want to see you go. Find the joy. Pass it on. Find the peace. Hold on to it and share with anybody you can share it with. And then, of course, make sure that you love not just yourself, but others as well. It has been a pleasure to be with you tonight. Jonathan Lowe, our producer tonight, as well as Chris Tubbs, thank you to both of you. I've had a blast tonight. Thank you. And if you think about my son, say a prayer for him too. Good night, everybody, and take care. Welcome back, everyone. You've been listening to Center Stage. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. As we end this final hour tonight, and I know many people say, where is Michael Battle? Where's my son? Well, he is working hard with Amazon, and he does not have the time that he used to have for us to do that hour together. But we do hope, at least I hope, that we will get it together again. So stay tuned. He's doing well. Say a prayer for him. I do want to mention Tina Turner's funeral, which will be a small private affair with closest family friends. And when I read that, I was really surprised. I kept saying to myself, why wouldn't they want us to at least want to be there or watch part of it in some way? But then I thought, Geralyn, you have no right to even ask that question, because she was a superstar. It doesn't mean she didn't want anyone to participate. Maybe she's just, this is her way of going home, wherever home is, up or down, sideways, you name it. So Tina Turner's former personal assistant said that the singer did not want a big public funeral. And I know how that is. You know, I want a big party. I don't want a big funeral. I want a big party. I said to my mother one day, I said, you know, Mom, I think I want a pine box built just for me. And I want to have it at the church or wherever we're going to have this party, because it's going to be a party, and I want people to draw on it, paint on it, and say whatever they want to say to me within a few words. And she said, oh no, Geralyn, no, don't do that. Well, it's remarkable what people want, and Tina Turner did not want a big funeral. In fact, she said that she wanted to be cremated. That's what I want. So her funeral is likely to be attended by her closest friends and family. What I will say as we end our night tonight is that the bottom line for me with Tina Turner is that we are going to miss you dearly. We are truly going to miss you dearly. I don't know of any other artist that is a Tina Turner, that is even close to Tina Turner. She's been in the industry for so long. And although I look at my own life and I'm so grateful for the things I have accomplished, and I'm looking forward to doing more, at the same time, when there are the greats that are leaving us, my goodness, it's hard. It's really hard, because I can't imagine. I think it was Lizzo, a dear friend of mine, Shelley, sent me a link that showed Lizzo doing one of Tina Turner's most famous songs. And I watched it. It was only about 2 minutes or maybe 3 minutes long. It wasn't long at all. And Lizzo really let it go. I mean, she was verklempt. She, you know, you could tell she was choking up. You know, she just, her heart just couldn't seem to release all of the song, but she just kept going for it and going for it. And I thought to myself, that's the way to do it. Tina is, you know, looking at all of us right now going, yep, Lizzo, boom, that's the one. She did it. And it was just fun to watch her do it. I do hope that people have finally gotten over Lizzo. It just bothers me to read articles from time to time where people are really against her. They want to say, you know, oh, look at these outfits you wear. They're terrible. You have no right to put them on. We can go on and on. You know, it's all about the consciousness of the body, right? If you're a big, beautiful woman and you want to show it off, then people get a little offended. Oh, God. Remember the people that were telling Lizzo, don't wear that gown. It's diaphanous. You can see through it. And that's ridiculous. What? There are people that are on stage that even off stage that wear clothes that are totally inappropriate. Who are we to tell them that, right? There's no law against that person wearing that. Not that I know of. So as we think about all of those that we've lost, every time the Oscars come on and they show the pictures of those that have gone that year, it's hard, because you really start to realize, oh my gosh, we are going to miss so many of them. And it doesn't mean it's ever going to stop. It just simply means that we need to pay attention and honor them even before they're sick. Send them a letter, send them a card that just says, and if they never open it and they never see it, at least you got it off your heart. You sent that to that particular star to say, I hope you're well. So what's going on with some of the other stars right now? Celine Dion, of course, had to cancel the rest of her show in Vegas. And we know that she's in pain. So please say something positive. Say a prayer for her. Think about her. Can you imagine? This woman is one of the voices that we will never forget, just like Tina Turner, Whitney Houston, and so many others. But what do we do? Do we talk about it? Do we laugh about it behind their backs and go, well, she was too thin anyway, or she was too fat anyway? It's ridiculous. How about just saying, I'm going to think about you, or maybe I'm going to pray for you, or maybe I'm going to send something up to the heavens, even though I don't know that much about you. I'm thinking about you, and I don't want to see you go. Find the joy. Pass it on. Find the peace. Hold on to it and share with anybody you can share it with. And then, of course, make sure that you love not just yourself, but others as well. It has been a pleasure to be with you tonight. Jonathan Lowe, our producer tonight, as well as Chris Tubbs, thank you to both of you. I've had a blast tonight. Thank you. And if you think about my son, say a prayer for him too. Good night, everybody, and take care.